Hey, good morning, Apex Church. Delighted to be with you. How we long to join together physically in the building. But until then, we continue to sing our song, and we are delighted that we are the church. We are not the church when we're in the building, but we are called the ecclesia, the called out ones. We are people of God. And I really want to encourage you over this season, push into all that God has for you. You know, there's a great danger that because there is such a demand on our attention, that we can lose our focus. And what we don't want to happen is we don't want God to get our leftovers. We want God to get our best. The Bible talks about giving God our first fruits in all things. And that's not only in regard to our finance, that's in regard to our time. So it's never been more important, let me put it this way, for us to have discipline in our life as we follow after God. Well, I'm going to continue our series entitled Stress Free Living. And I want to talk this morning about facing your fears. I have no doubt that we're living in stressful and stress-filled times. COVID-19 has heightened anxiety, fear, and worry. I've been reading this week about occupational stress, relational stress, financial stress. It seems everyone's stressed. It has highlighted what is happening in our world. And that brings a great challenge to us as Christians. I also read an article that was telling me that there are so many illnesses that are actually caused by anxiety, worry, and fear. So let's look into this thought this morning, facing your fears, because in the midst of all that, here comes Paul, and listen to what he says. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And here's the verse. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. One of the things the enemy wants to do is he wants to steal our peace. The Bible says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I believe that one of the ways, one of his tactics is this, that he wants to infiltrate our hearts and minds through intimidation. Sometimes that can be subtle, sometimes it can be direct, sometimes that can be indirect. And that's why when the Apostle Paul says, be anxious for nothing, if you look at that in the original Greek, it implies that we can be divided or being pulled in different directions. A divided mind comes from the result of uncertainty. I was walking past one of those local parks the other day, and I looked and I saw a seesaw. I hadn't really noticed one in a long time. I remember when I was a kid, used to love playing in the parks. And one of the things I enjoyed when you were on the seesaw was if you were there with your friend and going up and down, if you were able to somehow keep your end down and leave them dangling in the air. But the problem is this, the Apostle Paul is saying that sometimes if we have the divided mind or the divided heart, that if we put our weight on that, it will cause us to have an emphasis or lean more towards stress, fear, and worry, rather than leaning on what does God's word say and what does God declare over us. So Paul says regarding this anxiety, he says, don't be worried and don't be concerned about anything. I believe what the enemy does want to do is take us that we forget the place of peace because we become distracted and divided. Isaiah, we read these words in 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Therefore, this morning, if we're feeling stress-filled or anxious, we actually have to be intentional. We need to do something about it. Whatever you're not changing, you're choosing. That's why we're talking this morning on stress-free living. Have you ever watched on TV the New Zealand All Blacks, that rugby team, as just before the game starts, they do what's called the haka? It's a Maori dance, and now, of course, it's about entertainment. But its purpose when they first started was this. They wanted to intimidate their opponents. They wanted their opponents to be looking at their fierce faces and their actions, therefore cause the opponent to think, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Mike Tyson said this, that often when he would, before he would even get into the ring, he would intimidate his opponent by fixing his eyes on him. He says, often I could tell that they were already beaten before I ever threw a punch because I was able to use intimidation. Well, now I'm not here today to speak about the All Blacks. I'm not here to talk about boxers in the ring. But there's a great story, well-known story in the book of Samuel, which I think helps us as we think of this thought of intimidation. It's about David and Goliath. It's well-known. We read this, 1 Samuel 17. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight me and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Here we have intimidation. Often the enemy will use intimidation to make us feel inadequate and inferior. And how does he do this? Well, let's just take a few moments. He begins to play on our senses because we see from this story that, number one, it was based on what the children of Israel saw. The giant, Goliath, when he would come down, even before there was a battle, he would come dressed. He never came in his PJs. He never came in shorts and casual wear. He was always dressed for war. I'm told he wore a bronze helmet. He had his armor. He had his bronze leggings. He had a staff. His spear was like a weaver's beam. And he had an armor bearer who walked ahead of him with a huge shield. In other words, before a word was spoken, the visual that the children of Israel saw was gigantic. That's what the enemy wants to do to bring stress and anxiety into our life. He wants us to look at situations, and as we view the situations, he wants us to play it over and over and over in our mind, because the giant, the Bible says, for 40 days and 40 nights, he would present himself before the children of Israel. I wonder what's presenting itself to you today. I'm told that it would be first thing in the morning and last thing at night. Children of Israel would be getting ready to rest after a day that was filled with fear, worry, and concern. And what would they see and what would they hear? The enemy. They would get up in the morning, and the first thing that they would see would be the enemy. And right now, maybe the enemy is producing a circumstance that you're focused on, and because you're focused on that, the enemy will use that as a video to play over and over and over and over and over again. Before you know it, you can't get a night's sleep. Why? Because you're feeling anxious, because your mind is working overtime as you are replaying what you have seen. In fact, the children of Israel said these words, "Have you seen this man?" What are you looking at? Maybe it's social media that's causing you to be anxious right now. Maybe you're doing this thing called comparison, and we'll look a bit more at that subject in the coming weeks. Because what you look at externally is going to gain traction internally. And the enemy will use that as a video on repeat time and time and time again to cause you to lose focus. But not only what we see, but what we hear. Because the giant would say, "Let's fight." And it's this whole thought of competition. Maybe you're anxious right now because you're so competitive and the world is so out of sync that you are trying to get ahead in life. You're thinking, how can I move forward? And there's a sense that being competitive can be quite good. There's something about the stretching. This elastic band, as it is good for nothing. There's got to be some tension placed on for the elastic band to be effective. And that's why I'm saying to you, you know, Paul was talking about being over-anxious. There's a sense that sometimes the anxiety can push us forward into a good place. But maybe right now what you're hearing is taking you to a bad place, because that's what happened with the children of Israel. And those men that were listening to the giant, there was this thought that the Goliath was saying to them, you're not enough. Send a man to fight with me. If he can defeat me, I'll serve you. And we discussed this a little bit a couple of weeks ago, didn't we? This feeling that we become anxious, fearful, and afraid because the enemy uses intimidation and the voice of others that perhaps makes you feel that you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not, you don't have what it takes. You're second best. You've messed up again. You're not enough. And that's bad when it comes from some other source. What's even worse is self-talk. When you yourself begin to feel and speak to yourself and you just say, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to get the breakthrough. Hear the negative talk there. I'm always going to be a failure. I'm always going to be last in the queue. I'll never be as good as so and so. And that actually becomes intimidation. And you talk at that and declare that over yourself. That's why I love 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says this, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You need to take that negative thought captive quickly and make it obedient to Christ. Now, I know this is new stuff for some of you, but you're allowing those voices to resonate in your spirit and in your mind, things that have been talked over you, declared over you for many, many years. And once again, you hear that replay time and time again. I tell you what, you need to take that captive right now to the obedience of Christ. Whose report will you believe? I want to believe the report of the Lord. You see, we may need to make it obedient to Christ. I love that. What does God have to say? What does he declare after me? And the other thing I notice is this, that sometimes intimidation can come from how we feel. Life circumstances, people can make you feel that you're not enough. And then we start to use language like this, I just can't. You see, that's what happened with the people of Israel. The seasoned soldier said, I can't fight the giant. Saul, the king, who was head and shoulders above everyone else, he says, I can't do it. Listen, I've discovered this. You can't solve an internal issue with an external solution. That's why we need to deal with this thing called anxiety and stress. Romans 12, we read about, let's not be conformed to the world, but we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. One of the translations says this, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Now, this whole thought of renewing, it's not a repair. It's not a patch over. It's an improved version. In other words, it's an upgrade. I've been having a lot of problems with my computer recently, and we have tried to do upgrades, and it keeps coming back saying, not enough space, not enough space. And maybe we need to do the upgrade in our mind and our spirit right now, and we need to get rid of that clutter of that old thinking, of that old mindset, which causes us to be conformed to the world, and we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Come on, someone say amen. So how do we do that? Here's some simple thoughts. You need to just talk to God. Pastor Dan mentioned this last week. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Folks, I still believe in the power of prayer. Prayer changes things. And God wants us to come and talk with him. In the Old Testament, he says, come, let us reason together. There's something special about the prayer of faith, that we can come to God with our insecurities and talk to him. God, I feel insecure. I feel stressed out. I feel concerned about my family. God wants us to come and bring this concerns to him and talk with him about it. If you're feeling a failure right now, talk to God. God, I feel that I keep messing up. I feel I can never get it right. I feel, God, that I'm broken. Bring it to God. He wants to commune with us. He wants to speak His word and His love through His word into our life. Isn't it amazing that we'll talk to everyone else? Sometimes we just won't talk to God. And we need to get to that place, because I believe if we want to be in a place of stress-free living, then we've got to consistently come and make our requests known to God. But not only talk to God, listen to this one. Talk to yourself. Yes, I said that. Now you're thinking right now, Neil, that's crazy. Talk to yourself. Well, you're already doing it. You're already saying, I'm no good, I can't make it. You're already comparing yourself to others. Yes, in your head, you are already, that voice is very loud and very clear. So why don't you start declaring to yourself the word of God? Remember when David was getting ready to go and fight the giant and everyone thought he couldn't, and even Saul thought there was no way? David said these words to Saul. He says, I was able to go and fight against the lion and the bear. David wasn't boasting at that point, but David was reminding himself that God had already taken him through battles. David was declaring to himself out loud, I have seen victory in my life already. Therefore, this giant, this uncircumcised Philistine, no problem. I used to love what we call the testimony meet, and some of you are old enough to remember those. I would love when people would get up and begin to declare what God had done in their life. They would declare victories where there was an area of defeat that God brought them through, where there was challenge that God was with them. And I would get inspired, and you would be inspired as people would begin to declare the goodness of God. Maybe you need to remind yourself of past victories right now. You see, the enemy wants you to be focused on circumstances, challenges of defeat. Come on, pull to mind, pull the file right now. Don't you remember when there was a challenge and God gave you the victory? When it looked like it was over, but God brought you through. When it looked like you were going down, but God lifted you up. You're listening to me right now. You're thinking, yeah, I remember that time. Can I ask you a question? If God can do it for you then, don't you believe that God can do it for you again? Let the weak say, I'm strong. And let the poor say, I am rich. Listen, if you don't love what you do, you've got to love who you are. You've got to work on your self-worth. Now, I'm not talking about a narcissistic, hi, I'm great, I'm brilliant, there's no one like me. That's not what I'm referring to. But I tell you, some of us need to remember, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I am created in the image of God. I am a child of the living God. Listen, you need to learn to love yourself, because the Bible says you can only love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then I believe that we need to talk to the circumstances. You know, God's truth is greater than any lie. How did David respond to the intimidation of the enemy? He said this, you come to me with spear and sword and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of the armies of God. In other words, he didn't look at what he didn't have. He declared what he did have. You see, right now, people may be coming to you with judgment, with contempt, with unforgiveness, with a superior attitude. What are you going to do? I'll tell you, you're going to talk to the circumstance. You may come to me with judgment, but I come to you with prayer, and I come to you with praise, and I come to you with an identity in the name of God of the angel armies. I spoke to someone a couple of weeks ago, and they were going through a difficult situation. And I began to use my testimony. I let them know that my biological parents did not plan me. But just because I was not planned, that does not mean that God does not have a plan for my life. You might not have a slingshot like David, but I tell you what, you have some wins under your belt. And it needs to be your reference point. You need to speak to the circumstance. That's why in the Gospels, when there was that storm, what was the word? Peace, be still. Jesus spoke to the storm. You need to speak to your storm of anxiety, of fear, and of worry right now and declare the word of the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, we read this, cast your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. David said in verse 5 there, sorry, it wasn't David, it was Paul. I'm consumed with David right now. Paul said in verse 5, God is near. Paul declared that. God is near. It's interesting that he was there in prison, handcuffed to a Roman soldier, but he recognized that closer than that soldier was God. Closer than what he was dealing with was God. The guards were changed over in rotation. When their shift was over, someone else came in. But Paul knew that although there was rotation with the guards, God would never leave him. God is near. Maybe for you in this season, it's time for a reset to factory settings. We're talking about the fact that maybe you're living with anxiety, fear, and worry. Maybe it's your long-term friend. You don't say, goodness and mercy will follow me. You say, anxiety and worry will follow me all the days of my life. There's an old song, and I don't know why, but a lot of the old songs are coming back right now. Maybe some of you will remember this. We used to sing, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. That's what David did. He faced that giant, and he says, wait a minute, you are not going to declare fear and worry and anxiety over God's people. I'm going to take back what you're trying to take from us. And I believe that's the word of the Lord for you right now, dealing with anxiety, fear, worry, concern. You need to be intentional. I'm going to go to the enemy's camp, and I'm going to take back what he stole from me. So what are you looking at right now? What are you listening to? What have you allowed to get into your spirit and you're feeling it? You need to speak to God. You need to speak to yourself, and you need to speak to that circumstance. There's a great quote by Corrie Ten Boom. She said this, if you look at the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look at God, you'll be at rest. That's powerful right there. What are you looking at? Who are you listening to? We need to declare God's word over us, and let's face our fears. I want to pray for you right now, Christian. I want to pray that God is just going to move into your situation. Right into your living room. Right into your kitchen. Wherever you're watching this right now. I declare the peace of God. Father, in Jesus' name, let your peace flood homes, flood minds, flood spirits right now. Father, there are people who love you, who have been loyal to you. And right now, they can't sleep at night. They're over-anxious. They're over-concerned. They're over-fearful. They're putting more weight on what they see than actually what the Word of God declares. And I declare right now, peace, be still. To every troubled water, to every storm, peace, be still. To every financial challenge, peace, be still. To every health issue, peace, be still. And Father, I pray that you would help us to walk according to your word and live stress-free in Jesus' name. Maybe you're listening to me right now and you've never given your heart to Jesus. Maybe you tuned in because a friend told you, hey, check Apex out. Maybe you just happen to be in a home and this is on. Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace. And he wants to bring peace into your situation. There's something wonderful when you belong to Jesus, that you know you're part of the family of God. The Bible says he forgives us of our sins. And he also says this, he'll never leave us and he'll never forsake us. Just like Paul was able to declare, the Lord is near. You can experience his nearness right now. But you've got to take that first step. What is that? You've got to invite Christ to come into your heart. It's amazing. He doesn't force his way in, but he waits for you to invite him to come in. And I believe that he wants to be your Lord. I believe that he wants to be your Savior. I believe that he wants to guide you and he wants to direct you. So maybe you're saying, Neil, I want to give my heart to Jesus. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we come in the name of Jesus. And we ask right now that you would come in and be my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin and help me to walk a life according to your will. I know that I've messed up and I know I may mess up in the future. I know I get things wrong and I put weight on the wrong things and the wrong emphasis. But right now I am making a choice to make you Lord of my life. So I ask you, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, to be my Savior. Amen and amen.